From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Welcome to the Wildcast podcast. I'm Arizona Daily Star sports editor Ryan Finley, here with Greg Hansen. Greg, we're going back to our low-tech roots today. You were in the newsroom. We were talking U of A football, U of A basketball, and decided, you know what, this would just make for a good podcast. So I'll be honest, I've just whipped out my phone, put it on the conference table here, and we're just going to talk for 15 minutes or so about what's going on.
It's high-tech to me.
It is high-tech. Greg, 8:30 football games. Are you for them? As a deadline guy, it's got to be brutal.
You know what it's like.
Yeah, it's terrible.
We sat through a game in Seattle about 4 years ago that ended about 11:30.
Yes, on Halloween night.
Yep. And it's never going to change because right. The TV, the media rights money is never going to change.
Do you think that they pick on Arizona for this stuff?
No.
I mean, that is what I hear from fans, and I think that it's worth repeating. You know, the U of A has a policy that says no September home game can start before 7 o'clock.
Right.
It's too hot.
Yeah.
Right? It's too hot. Okay. So you got to eliminate the first four games. So really, we're only dealing with Pac-12 stuff here. I would say that it's probably a compliment if you're asked to play at 7:30 Pacific and not at, say, 11 a.m., like Colorado and Utah will have to do here on Saturday. Is it unfair, quote-unquote, to the traveling party? Maybe. But they're taking a chartered plane home, too. It's no more unfair to them than it is unfair to Michael Lev, let's say, who's got to drive back to Spokane at 2 in the morning. But still, it's a storyline, it seems like, every year with football.
I remember all the times Washington State would come to Tucson to play football in a night game, and I would think during the game, they got to go to the airport, take 45 minutes to load, fly to Lewiston, Idaho, get back on the buses, drive an hour to Pullman, and it's 6 a.m.
Right.
They did that so many times, Washington State playing here, and everybody has to do it.
Right.
I don't think no one's picked on because, as you said, ESPN and Fox decide who they want in those primetime windows.
Right. And in a way, it's bad luck if you're Arizona because they picked this game. It just happens to be at the most remote locale in the Pac-12. I mean, the issue isn't that they're playing at 8:30 p.m. It's that they're playing at 8:30 p.m. in Pullman, friggin' Washington.
Yeah.
For people who have not been, just because I've got you here, Greg, tell them your impressions of Pullman as a place to watch football.
Well, now, you haven't been there with the new facilities, have you?
No.
They have the best press box in the league.
Really? Better than New Stanford?
Oh, it's the best I've been in, I think.
Wow.
Other than LSU.
Okay. Yeah. LSU, LSU comes with beer.
Yeah. But it's a fabulous place now.
Mm-hmm.
My first 10 or 12 years covering U of A road games in Pullman, there was no heat in there. They had little space heaters.
Mm-hmm. At your feet. Yeah.
And, you know, they got your feet warm, but that was about it.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one year, Larry Smith's wife came up to me and said, "Do you need a jacket?" And I had like two on. I said, "No, I'm fine." And I was chattering. She went down and brought me a U of A jacket. I said, "I can't wear that. I can't when I want to, but I can't." That's how cold it used to be there.
I remember going up there. And it's funny, too, because usually, Greg, these trips are like October.
Yeah.
It seems that in the years when we went there together, it was always sort of crisp and kind of cold out, but not bad.
Well, you would always buy gloves.
I would buy gloves. My God, the glove story. Should I? Can I?
Yeah.
That's a podcast. We went to Pullman for the first time. I want to say in something like 08, me and you. And Arizona was up there, and me and you were walking around downtown Spokane the night before the game. And it's, first of all, Spokane's awesome.
Yeah.
That's my takeaway. We're walking around, and I think we'd gotten dinner and maybe watched a basketball game or something on TV. And I go, "I'm freezing. I'm going to pop into this Eddie Bauer here and get a pair of gloves." I walked in, never bought a pair of gloves in my life, right? Grew up in California, have lived here for forever. No interest in gloves. And walked in, spent whatever it was, $30 on a pair of fleece gloves. Then realized that the fingers were too fat to type. Anyway, wear them once, put them in my bag, go home, put them in a drawer. 2 years later, we're back in Pullman for another football game. I've left my gloves at home. Same scenario, walking down that street after, having a beer and watching half of a basketball game or whatever. I go, "I need to buy a pair of gloves." I walked in, I bought the exact same pair, at the exact same store for the exact same price. And now, in some drawer at home next to about three scarves I never wear, because we live in Tucson, Arizona, is a matching set of gray Eddie Bauer gloves that, again, do nothing for you because I can't type with them, and my phone doesn't recognize my fingers because I'm wearing gloves.
But you looked real smart driving a car with gloves on.
Absolutely, absolutely. And there's a... later, we moved on to the... There's some sort of Nike running glove. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nike has these running gloves that are warm, and those are good because you can still use your phone and you can still type. But anyway, that's just a little background into Pullman. What I like about Martin Stadium and about Pullman, Washington, Greg, is it's the kind of place that you or I would have never gone to ever if we weren't in this job.
Never.
Never. I mean, even if we were in that part of the country... we'd be in Spokane, or you'd be in Coeur d'Alene, right? Pullman, Washington is so remote and so different from almost any other place in the league. I've always really enjoyed the trips there, and I'm probably in the minority as a media guy here, but I always thought it was just such a world away from and a world apart from what we're used to. Very different.
Okay, here's an old guy story about Pullman.
Yeah.
My last year living in Utah.
Mm-hmm.
I covered Utah State, played in the NCAA regionals in Pullman.
Naturally, yep.
And the other three teams there were UCLA with John Wooden, Michigan with
Judd Heathcote. Yeah.
No, Montana had Judd Heathcote.
Oh, wow.
And Montana beat Utah State. They had Michael Ray Richardson, who nobody knew about.
Right.
And that got Judd Heathcote the job at Michigan State. And Michigan took John Wooden into overtime. I watched the game there.
Wow.
But the thing that stuck with me about that story, I think it was 1975, was that we all stayed in the same hotel.
Wow.
They had one Ramada Inn in Pullman.
Yeah.
John Wooden and UCLA was in there with Utah State and me.
That's
1975.
So I remember, I think it was the last time we were both there, Greg, the same night as the football game across the street inside, what's the name of their Beasley Arena?
Yeah.
Bill Cosby one-man show. Remember that? And we're sitting there, we're going, Bill Cosby will come to Pullman, Washington? Where he is now is makes Pullman, Washington look like Paris, France, I think. It's crazy.
There's a great tradition with the Daily Star sports staff and the drive from Spokane to Pullman.
Yes.
Every beat reporter I've ever gone with there has got a speeding ticket. Everyone. John Wilner, Jay Gonzalez, you name it.
Yeah.
Bruce Pascoe, Steve Rivera of the Citizen, Jack Magruder.
It's a speed trap.
I know.
Is what it is. It's also the place where, I'm going to out him here on our podcast because I'm pretty sure he doesn't listen, Benji Sanders, our longtime photographer. Benji Sanders saw Bigfoot on the drive from Spokane to Pullman.
That.
He saw Bigfoot. I don't even know where to go. Where do we even pivot from Bigfoot? Outside of, you know, Arizona could really... How do I say this? Arizona can put its imprint, here we go, on the Pac-12 South with a win here on Saturday. I know it's a long shot. I know it's a tough place to play against a pretty good team, but you know what is Arizona's path to victory here? How do they have to play?
Well, you know, Washington State's completing 70% of their passes
right.
with those five little slot receivers that go every cross pattern
sure,
imaginable, and that Gardner Minshew hits right on the nose.
Mm-hmm.
That can't happen.
Can't happen. So how do you do that? You got to get to the quarterback.
Yep.
You got to do what else?
Well, Khalil Tate's going to have his best game of the year.
Right.
And it's just Arizona's defensive.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be so ambitious toward the ball.
Mm-hmm.
They can't lay back and look to see where these six little receivers are going.
Mm-hmm. One thing that not a lot of people know is that Washington State, I believe, is leading the Pac-12 and is in the top five in the country in time of possession.
Yeah, and Leach blew that off like he didn't care about it.
Yeah, well, Leach is one of those guys. So Rich Rod was like that, too. Does not think time of possession is indicative of final score. But you know what? It goes back to this offense that Arizona ran under Sonny Dykes. Short passes are their runs, right? Sonny Dykes used to tell us that he was every bit as confident in completing a short pass for 3 yards as you would be handing off the ball to the running back on first down. That if you do it the right way, It's an error-free move with about the same percentage of turning the ball over as you'd have if a guy just ran it straight ahead.
Washington State's number two receiver is their starting running back.
Right, which is crazy. What do you make of Minshew?
Best story of the year in college football.
Right.
Don't you think so?
Yes.
At the Manning passing camp in June in mm-hmm. Thibodaux, Louisiana. Mm-hmm. He stayed in the same dorm as Khalil Tate.
No way.
Yes. And I bet you $1 million mm-hmm. Khalil Tate had never heard of him.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't remember him. Because Jake Browning was also in their dorm room. Mm-hmm. And Steve Montez of Colorado. Those four.
Wow.
They were in the same dorm.
Now, he was headed to Alabama basically as a walk-on, right?
Yeah.
Or as a backup.
Yeah.
And again, I'm sure that this is out there somewhere, but, you know, he comes from East Carolina. The huge Washington State and Arizona connection there. You know, Dave Nickel was the offensive coordinator at East Carolina. He left when everybody got fired a few years ago, joined Mike Leach's staff as, I believe, the receivers coach. And then Gardner Minshew comes over from East Carolina. Dave Nickel, we all remember from his time at Arizona, really nice guy, really outgoing guy, and somebody who I think will be an offensive coordinator somewhere someday. Mm-hmm. Really bright, still very young. I mean, I think he's younger than me. I don't know, interesting. If all he does is go, I got us Gardner Minshew, he's worth whatever they're paying him, right?
I think they got him because of Hal Mumme,
yeah.
Who is Leach's tutor,
right.
Who is Leach's idol,
right.
Who's created what Leach does.
Right.
Because when Helinski committed suicide, mm-hmm. their presumed number one quarterback,
right.
It was in March, mm-hmm. and Leach called Hal Mumme, who is coaching Jackson State, in Mississippi, where Gardner Minshew, 30 miles away.
That's crazy.
He said, I'll get you in touch with Gardner Minshew. Mm-hmm. That's how it happened.
Wow. Wow.
That goes back 30 years, because Leach coached with Mumme in 1990.
I mean, that would be like, man, that's so wild.
That connection.
It's hard to, I mean, that would be like Cheryl Smith saying, hey, I know a guy who knows a guy. Does Arizona need a quarterback? You know, that's wild.
I mean, it goes back 29 years.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. What do you make of basketball? Arizona plays UTEP tonight at 6 o'clock. I'm a big fan of the earlier tip time, by the way.
Yeah, great one.
Fans can go straight from work, which I think is good. Anything your average fan can learn by watching them play tonight, do you think?
No. Mm-hmm. I don't think so, because mm-hmm. UTEP's really crummy.
Mm-hmm.
But next week, I think the Monday night game against Illinois mm-hmm. will be revealing.
Iowa State. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Playing without two of their better players.
Right, right.
That should be revealing, mm-hmm. because if Arizona can hang with Iowa State, mm-hmm. it should tell you that they might be okay.
I still have concerns, Greg, when I watch this team. Who's going to score all the points?
Yeah.
And it's so funny, a year ago we used to go, who's going to pass and play defense?
I know.
Now who's going to score all the points? I mean, is it going to be Brandon Williams based on just shot volume? Is it going to be Brandon Randolph?
Yeah, both of them.
I mean, will the two Brandons account for 40% of their points every night? How do they do that?
It doesn't look to me like Chase Jeter is going to be a scorer.
Okay.
Ira Lee's not going to be a scorer.
No. Ira Lee, what I love about Ira Lee is that I don't think he's concerned with being a scorer. Or maybe not.
Yeah,
maybe not concerned, but he's a Michael Wright type. He's a rebounder, mm-hmm. defender, put a body on a guy. He fouled out in, 13 minutes the other night?
Just like last year.
Yeah.
If Ryan Luther doesn't average 12, it'll be trouble.
The first thing I thought about Ryan Luther was, my God, this guy passes the eye test. He looks really, I think, much better than he did when he played at Pitt, mm-hmm. just from a body type standpoint. I think Justin Coleman, if he was 2.5 inches taller, would be Duke's starting point guard. I really like him. He's really small in person.
Yeah.
And again, you know, you can dream on guys like Dotrieve and Emmanuel Acott, two guys who just look like they could be, you know, NFL-wide receivers playing basketball.
Well, Acott's, to me, got the biggest chance to improve this year.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, he's still played without confidence.
Mm-hmm.
The way he looked last year, I think.
Right. You know, it's so funny, and this time of year, you know, next week's my favorite week of the year. I love Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving is a great holiday, and it's a great sports time. I mean, there's a good football game on most days. There's Maui Invitational, all these other holiday tournaments. But, you know, for your average, like, traveling U of A fan, like somebody who's going to go visit grandma, it's Monday night's game is huge. If Arizona wins Monday night, if they can beat Iowa State on Monday night, they will play at 8:30 p.m. Tucson time on Tuesday.
Gonzaga,
or whoever. If they were to lose Monday night, I believe they play at 3 in the afternoon on Tuesday. That's a big spread.
Yeah,
that's a big spread for people who got to work. So I'll be watching that. I mean, I don't know. It's I can't imagine they would make it to the championship game just based on the field.
No.
But you got to think maybe, I mean, I don't think they're going to go 0-3 either. So.
Don't. That's what you're saying.
I don't think they're going to go 0-3. You can quote me on that.
I think 0-3.
0-3. Who would they play on day three?
Ask Bruce. Bruce Pasco knows.
Bruce would know.
The scenario he does not want to talk about is there's a chance Arizona could play after the championship game on Wednesday.
Oh, seventh place game or whatever that is?
Either that or the consolation game is the last game, which means everybody misses their flights. And it's after our deadline.
Yes.
And
Bruce is eating a turkey sandwich on the beach in Hawaii instead of being home.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's brutal. That's brutal. Let's talk Thanksgiving real quick, Greg, while I've got you here. I mean, you grew up in sort of cold weather country.
Yeah, I loved it.
This is the time of year when the leaves change and all that stuff. What's your favorite Thanksgiving memory? You got one?
Well, it snowed a lot. I probably had 12 to 14 snows when I was a kid growing up on Thanksgiving.
Okay.
And of course, you go to your grandma's. And so, can't beat that.
Mm-hmm. Good times?
All of them.
Yeah. What would you guys watch?
I don't remember watching football. Well, there was always an NFL game.
Right.
Even when I was a kid.
Right.
That was about it.
Yeah.
You know, in the 60s, there wasn't a lot of entertainment. You had to create it. Playing in the snow was number one.
When I was a kid, we would spend our Thanksgivings. My grandparents had all died by the time I was 8 or 9. And so we looked for things to do on Thanksgiving. And we used to go visit my mom's aunt and uncle every year from like 10 until they died, like 5 years ago. We'd go to a place called Santa Maria, California. It's a...
Oh, up on the coast?
Up on the coast. Central coast, about an hour north and a little bit inland from Santa Barbara. Santa Maria, California is famous for basically one thing, and that is barbecue.
Barbecue. Hmm.
And my mom's aunt and uncle, my great aunt and great uncle, never had kids. They had this big house, kind of all of themselves. And they were huge food people. You would call them foodies now. Back then, they were just old people who liked to cook. And every meal we had there was so good that Thanksgiving itself, the meal, was just okay.
Wow.
That it would be tri-tip on the steak night one, you know, some sort of sausage the next night. They were French. And so it was, you know, the wine was good. I had my first ever bourbon and seven, I think. And I was probably 16 years old up there. So that was always fun. And you could get up there a little bit. It was a little bit chillier. So it felt like a holiday a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And as miserable as me and you have been the last 2 days here in Tucson with this weather, I kind of hope it comes back.
Oh, yeah.
In time for Thanksgiving.
Worst Thanksgiving ever? My last year in Utah again.
Yeah.
Utah State played Southern Miss in Hattiesburg on Thanksgiving.
Oh!
It wasn't even on TV.
Oh!
I had to go to Hattiesburg, Mississippi on the day before Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving, and then we stayed over that night and flew back on the Friday.
Wow.
Just a waste of 3 days.
Remember that Thanksgiving night you and I spent in Corvallis?
Yes.
Yes.
That was Thanksgiving, yeah.
That was Thanksgiving night, and we ended up staying at a hotel across the street from the Oregon State...
Right across from...
Research Stadium.
Yeah.
It was awesome. And it would have been a really good spot to stay if Arizona was playing Oregon State the next day. But remember, they were playing in Eugene.
That didn't turn out well.
That did not turn out well. So it'll be interesting to see. All eyes will be on the TV, at least until people fall asleep here on Saturday night as Arizona takes on Washington State. That's an 8:30 kickoff. Arizona needs to not only win and get help to set up a winner-take-all territorial cup game for Arizona to control its own destiny, so to speak. It needs to win, and it needs Colorado to upset Utah. Greg Hansen, last question. What are the odds that Colorado upsets Utah?
50-50.
Really?
I think because of all the drama that's gone on in Colorado this week, and they've got everybody back now,
right.
Most of the guys back.
Right.
And Utah, coming off a big-time win, could be a little let down. Utah's never been in this position before. I think Colorado hangs with them.
Bruce Pasco told me something once about injuries when it comes to basketball. And he said, the first game, you're good. Like, if you lose a guy, your first game without him, you're almost always okay because everybody's got that energy, that renewed focus. The adrenaline kicks in, right? It's like sort of running on a sprained ankle. But then you come back 3 days later, and everybody's tired, or you're relying on that guy to give you that lift. That's what I think may be the problem with Utah. Utah played well the other night without their starting quarterback, without their starting running back.
Yeah.
Kind of got lucky at the end, pulled it out. But now all of a sudden they have a freshman quarterback and a freshman running back heading into a place that's pretty tough to play, and a coach who, depending on what you believe, may be coaching his final home game.
All those elements are going to add up to it. Plus, I also don't think Oregon's that good. And so Utah beating Oregon, to me, isn't a statement.
If you had to say, what is the most likely? ASU beats Oregon, Arizona beats Washington State, Colorado beats Utah.
To me, Colorado beating Utah is number one likely. What do you think?
I don't know. It'll be interesting to scoreboard watch, though.
I mean,
that game's going to be at 11:30 in the morning. So Arizona will have, 6.5 hours to digest
the
final
outcome. Part. That's the toughest part of playing an 8 o'clock game.
That's true. You got to watch football all day. It's taxing.
Yeah.
It's taxing. All right. Well, that'll do it for this episode of the Wildcast. Greg Hansen, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
I apologize for the low techness here, but hopefully we had some good stuff. Again, big basketball game tonight, Arizona Wazoo on Saturday. Until next time, I'm Ryan Finley. Goodbye.